Welcome to this special episode of Strategy Simplified. Today, leading TMT strategy consultancy Altman Salon takes over the podcast. In this episode, you'll hear from managing partner Rory Altman and his team on what makes this firm unique. We'll dive deep into Altman Salon culture, current job opportunities and how to apply, example projects, organizational structure, an example day in the life of an Altman Salon consultant, and much more. Finally, we'll end by sharing three specific job opportunities that are available at the firm right now. Altman Salon is hiring for consultant, senior consultant, and manager positions across its U.S. offices. To learn more and apply, click the link in the show notes. We'll be sending every resume we receive directly to Altman Salon for consideration. Now, without further ado, let's dive right in. Welcome, everybody. On behalf of Management Consulted and Altman Salon, we're so excited that you've chosen to join us today. We're excited to hear directly from the firm about who they are, why they're a rising star in the strategy consulting space, and more about the open roles that they have available and are hiring for right now. So I'm going to turn it over to Rory, Patrick, Toby, and Christina to take it from here.
Sounds good. So thanks again for having us. My name is Toby. I'm joined here on my right by a combination of Rory Altman, our managing partner, and Patrick Redman, another partner at the firm, as well as Christina Kilgariff, who's in our New York offices today. We have about 45 or so minutes with you guys to spend. We're going to do a combination of talk you through a bit about the firm and what we think makes Altman Salon so special, talk through some of the sample projects that we typically work on, talk through some of the typical career trajectories that folks have at the firm, and then make sure to leave some time at the end for questions. So that's sort of how we're thinking about it. To Naman's point earlier about some of those open roles, right now we are recruiting in the United States for three open roles. There's the consultant position, which is typically about 2 to 4 years of experience after undergrad, with no necessary experience specifically in consulting. The senior consultant role, which tends to be something that you join after having either an MBA or equivalent experience, and about maybe 1 or so year post-MBA, as well as the manager role, which is typically a post-MBA role with about 3 years of experience as well. All of those job postings are available on the Management Consultant website, and we're looking forward to seeing a lot of those strong applications from you folks. So I figure we might as well get into it with an introduction to the firm itself, and there's no better person to do that than our managing partner, Rory.
Hi, my name is Rory Altman, and I'm delighted to be speaking with you today, and thank you, Toby and Patrick, for arranging this, and Christina Kilgariff is also on. What I'd really like to do today is give you a flavor of the firm, and quite frankly, I'd like to share with you what I've learned and what I did not know when I first started looking at strategy consulting firms myself. I was at the time a student in business school. I knew of strategy consulting. I didn't really know much about the different firms, and they all seemed kind of confusing for me. So hopefully I'll be able to describe the firm, give you a sense for our scope and scale and what we do. Hopefully I'll be able to also, if I do my job right, give you a sense for where we fit within the management consulting field. That's really what I want to do, because our firm is a little unique and we are looking for people who really, really dig what we do, specifically what we do, and who really find the type of work we do to align with their passion. So that's really our objective, is to help you understand the entire playing field, where we fit, and if that's a good fit for you, then we think we'd like to talk with you. All right, so just stick on that for a second, Toby. We are a telecom, media, and tech sector focused strategy consulting firm. So what does that mean? We focus on what transforms our world. If you think about the services and the sectors of the economy that are changing the most quickly, the newest products and the fastest pace of new products coming out, the newest services. The services and products that you're probably talking about when you're hanging out with your friends. All the new media that's occurring, the new technology, the new consumer electronics devices, and all of the underlying infrastructure that makes all of that possible. If those are things that you're finding to be a lot of fun, if you're interested in, if you follow them in your personal life, if you talk about them at you know, when you're hanging out with your friends having dinner, then that's the kind of stuff we do every day. And so, yeah, it's only the cool stuff.
Only the cool stuff.
Good. All right. So this is, I think, what I hope will be, excuse me, one of the most helpful slides that I can do to set the stage about where we fit. There are so many types of consulting. And, you know, there's strategy consulting. It's such a vague term. I feel like we should define it, right?
We should.
All right. So I, when, you know, and my parents ask me this all the time because they still don't know what I do. They say, well, you're a strategy consultant. So what? What is strategy? Strategy is for a business or organization deciding the scope of what it's going to do. What types of services, what segments, what geographies, what markets it's going to play in, and how it's going to succeed and win in those markets. That is business strategy. So we are a strategy consulting firm, but there are many other consulting firms that do really great work in the economy and are really important. The more generalist firms that do a lot of different types of consulting are sometimes called management consulting firms. There are other firms that focus on operations or information technology, IT. There are firms that focus on human resources consulting, firms that focus on process improvement, and quite frankly, a myriad of other functional experts like consulting about how a finance organization should run, or consulting about how a process improvement organization should run. Well, all we do is strategy, and I think that's the most important thing to know. So that's one dimension on the left. As you move towards the center, there's another dimension. What industries? We focus solely on three industries: telecom, media, and tech, sometimes referred to as TMT. And there are plenty of other industries that are super interesting, and some of them are very dynamic. There are things going on in the energy industry with solar, et cetera. Healthcare is trying to undergo a revolution in how it delivers care. Retail, financial services, manufacturing, agriculture, you can go on and on and on, pharmaceuticals. There are lots of industries and they're all interesting. We focus solely on TMT. And I want to tell you why. Why those three sectors? Well, first of all, the pace of change in those three sectors is way ahead of the pace of change in most, not all, but most other sectors of the economy. The second reason is that these three sectors are really, really tightly intertwined. So telecom operators provide effectively the pipes, if you want to think about it that way, and media flows over that, and it makes, and the technology makes the whole thing work together. So TMT are really tightly interconnected, and we see that most companies that operate in one of those sectors is probably interacting a lot or maybe also active in the other sector. And so there's, for us, an intellectual synergy between those. And then if you take strategy consulting and TMT, you might say, well, what does that really mean? What does it mean tangibly? Well, we work on the types of areas that you see on the right side of the slide. So we do a lot of work with wireless operators, broadband operators. We do work with television studios and distributors, cloud, software, SaaS, IT services, so-called Internet of Things, and the mobile device sector and the consumer electronics sector generally. So we spend a fair amount of time working on those areas. So what does that mean in terms of our impact? Well, we'll talk about our size in a second, but I think this kind of captures a little bit about the impact. We work for all three of the top US wireless operators. We work for probably four of the six largest private equity investors in telecom, media, and tech. We work for over 20 of the most well-known media brands. a bunch of the top technology equipment manufacturers. And here's an interesting statistic. Over 90% of internet connections provided in the US are provided by our clients, and we're involved in helping them operate and conceive of their broadband businesses. Our clients can be found in 75 countries. And in the US, for instance, we work for two of the top IT services companies. So I hope that gives you a sense for the scale and the impact we have on the sectors. So as a result of our merger with our longtime European partner, Solon Management Consulting, and our expansion into Asia, we are now the largest global consultancy focused on telecom, media, and tech. We believe we have more people focused on TMT than maybe even some of the very large generalist firms within strategy. So if you are super interested in strategy consulting for TMT, we are effectively the big dog, Toby.
That's the spot to be.
That's the spot to be. All right. So what about the US? Where are we in the US? Well, right now we have offices in Boston, New York. We just opened LA and offices in San Francisco, an office in San Francisco as well. But that's not all.
That's not all.
Okay. Here's where we are as of today. So we are also in London. We opened Mexico City last summer. We're also in Milan, Munich, Paris, Singapore, and Sydney. We're just open this year, and we've been in Warsaw for a very long time. So that just gives you a sense of the scope of the firm. And in fact, the whole firm is expanding, and all of those offices are expanding.
I figure now's a good time as any to get into some of the example projects that we do at the firm to give you folks a sense of what it's like and what we typically work on.
Yeah, great. Hi, everybody. I'm Patrick Redmond, and really excited to be talking to you today. So we'll get into a peek into some actual project work in a moment. But as we get into that, you can expect to see that we take a highly analytical approach. This slide actually would be something that we would never show because there are no numbers on it. and of course, as Rory was saying, all these projects are about focusing on really the most impactful decisions facing businesses today. So, all right. So jumping in on some kind of example topics that we would delve into in our projects. And if someone is doing 8 to 12 projects a year or something on the order of that, you could expect actually to cover many, if not sort of all of these things over the course of sort of a year, 2-3 years. I've personally been involved in projects over the last few years that probably have covered everything. One of the most interesting projects I did recently in the kind of strategy market insight space was looking at net neutrality and what that meant for an internet service provider. And really interesting to me because I came away with a totally different appreciation of that topic. I just finished a project developing a new direct-to-consumer streaming service offer that touched on a lot of things in that go-to-market column. A little bit of product development, market strategy, very much looking at the customer experience. So some examples of the kinds of topics that we cover. So kind of getting now into actual project work, and we'll do a deep dive in a couple of things in a moment, but just four examples across our three industries and then those sort of topic areas. You can see in the top left, this project here for a tech firm, thinking about their overall strategy, and underscoring this point that we made, this stuff is very tangible. It's products that we use. That project was actually all about services like Zoom. The bottom left project here for a telecom firm, this is the kind of thing that we do when we can get our hands on really big, meaty data sets. And in this case, collecting all the information that we could about their consumers, products, et cetera, et cetera, and doing a whole series of regressions and very involved analysis on that to understand what are the sales drivers that that company can pull to generate the most revenue lift. Top right project, telecom again, go to market. This is a little bit more of a creative thing where we saw for this client a product that was experiencing a slowdown, and then trying to like peek behind the curtain or into that black box and understand like what's causing that, and coming up with creative ways to do that, and then strategies for the company to address that. Bottom right example of due diligence kind of project we do, and we do many of those. In this case, we're looking at a video distribution investment. You know, so think of something like a service sort of like network, Netflix, that kind of thing. And all I'll say about this is that everyone on that project team came away knowing more about that target and the space it was operating probably than anybody else out there. You know, looking under every rock and every nook and cranny of the company. So now to kind of drill into a couple actual project examples. In this case, working with a major cable company, an MSO, if you will. That's the acronym for cable company. And I point that out because there are a lot of acronyms on this page, and there are a lot of acronyms in our industry. Don't be like overwhelmed. You get the you figure them all out as you go. But in this case, looking at a potential acquisition, as it were. And one of the key questions there was understanding cord cutting patterns. Now, if we were to open this up into a poll and ask all of you, like, who here has pay TV, probably the answer would be very, very few. The reality, though, however, is that pay TV is not yet dead and may not be, not you, and not me either. It's not yet dead, despite the sort of idea that it is. But the rate at which we are cutting the cord collectively is a really important question for the potential investor here. So project covered a lot of ground, but some of the key things that it covered and delved into was around the who's jumping to OTT platforms over the top. That's what OTT acronym means, you probably all know that. RSNs, Regional Sports Network, who's using those, and what do those mean to slowing down the cord cutting? Long story short here, in this work, we came about to sort of a conclusion around what ultimately will be a floor, we think, given the current services that are available over the top, a floor to cord cutting. It's not going to go all the way to zero when people are needing to go to pay TV to get their sports content.
It's going to be the 50-year-olds that prop it up. Patch.
It'll be the 50. Yeah.
Now go 50-year-olds.
It's not going to be me. It's not going to be me.
Now, just a little plug for something that I'm involved with here. This is a moving target because a lot of content is jumping over the wall, if you will, and going direct to consumers like us. So something that a colleague and I do every year is over the summer, we do our own proprietary research to allow us to understand this better, where we look at trends and, see how more content goes over. Well, what does that mean to the bigger picture for cord cutting? Yeah. So the last kind of little, mini deep dive we'll do here, and then move to the next topic. So now, all right, fiber optic networks. This might not be that thing that you have a conversation with your friends with over
dinner. Rory does. I do.
Rory does.
All the time.
Rory does.
Rory might, and others might too, but not necessarily all of us. The truth, however, though, is that like fiber networks is the sort of a fuel, if you will, for all of the, or a lot of the growth and change that's happening in our industry, because it's allowing that media content to go direct to consumer. It's allowing us to have faster mobile phones, et cetera. So it's a really critical part of the infrastructure. And in this case, in this project, we were working with one of these operators of a fiber optic network. And by the way, they're lots of them out there, many with names you don't know, but they're all over the place. Looking at them to understand what are their growth opportunities. And, you know, is that a matter of getting into a different kind of infrastructure, a different geography, expanding the customer segments that they serve, introducing new products. So we covered a whole ton of ground, but through all of this, this is like the nuts and bolts of consulting, where we need to size a market and understand how big, how attractive is it, what are the risks that this company could be facing by going into pursuing this growth option versus another, understand the feasibility for them to do that. Like would if they were to, if they're a business services facing firm and they want to get into a consumer services facing firm, do they have the capabilities of even being able to do that? So,
and this particular project, Patrick, this was done by in Latin America. So in this case, there was the added excitement of trying to figure out how a set of emerging markets are going to evolve, and how, what is the right time to invest in different markets within South America. So that was the challenge here. It was to figure out the growth trajectory for the company and to recommend to them where to grow. And that's exactly what we did. We recommended acquisitions. We recommended that they stay focused on the enterprise market and the wholesale market. And we recommended that they enter something called the small cell backhaul market, just fiber optic network connecting all of the little small cells that are placed in urban areas to allow mobile networks to deliver Netflix to you while you're sitting at the bus stop or in the park or the cafe or whatever it was.
So I think that's a great example of at least some of the types of projects that we do. It's also worth spending some time on our people. You've gotten a sense of each of our three personalities. You'll start to get a sense of Christina's personality in no time. But we want to at least expose you to what's sort of the rest of the company like, who makes us smile when we come into work each day, and what are the exciting things that we get up to. So the first thing that I want to harp on is just how important our people are to the firm. Speaking from my own personal experience as an example, I moved up to Boston not actually knowing anyone, and I sort of rolled the dice on roommates and I rolled the dice on colleagues, and my colleagues immediately became some of my closest friends. These are people that I still vacation with and look forward to seeing, and can't wait to be back in person with them. Our colleagues and the people at our firm are truly awesome. It's a one-of-a-kind community. It's a great place to work. I was someone who always historically looked forward to coming into the office, to being seated in the bullpen, and knowing that there was always something going on, knowing that it's very easy to stand up and ask a question, and then you'll quickly make friends with a combination of your colleagues. You're excited when the summer interns come in. You're excited when the winter interns come in. It's just a great place to spend time with people that you enjoy working with. So to that point, exactly, what are some of those fantastic opportunities and things that we do? So we like to say that we still have the passion of a startup, but the respect of an industry leader. So we are able to operate with that agility in terms of creating some events and programming that are really exciting for our staff, but we also still command that market position when it comes to the excellent work we do. So just talking through some of the fun photos that we have up on the screen, on the top left here, this was an event in Boston. I will caveat that all of these photos were pre-COVID, so they are dated, but we're looking forward to getting back to them soon. So the top left was an event that was run by WASS, the women at Altman Solon. In our Boston office, on the first floor, there is Bespoke, which is sort of a SoulCycle class. Traditional spinning class. And so there was a Women at Altman Solon event where they were able to rent out the studio and do a specific sort of TMT-themed ride there. On the bottom left, we have one of my favorite events during the summer, which is our summer kickball league that we do with the interns. I was disappointingly not in this picture. I was taking this picture, so that's why you don't see me in it there. But it's a great time to sort of wrap up your day on a Wednesday, meet the interns, spend some time, usually losing in kickball. We were never very good, but we brought the heart, and then going out and grabbing a drink afterwards, maybe singing some karaoke, that kind of thing. And then on the bottom right-hand side, that's one of my favorite events at the firm. That is a picture that I am in. I'm in the middle there. That is one of our alternative happy hours. So our firm places an emphasis on making sure that people actually know each other outside of work. So on Fridays, we normally have weekly happy hours where we'll go to a local restaurant around the office and sort of relax, decompress from the week, meet each other's significant others, meet the people that we sort of care about in our lives. And there are occasions where we try to say, okay, let's get out and do something in addition to just spending some time at a happy hour. And those are known as alternative happy hours. And so this alternative happy hour was, I personally am an avid ice skater. I love to ice skate. And so I had contacted a local rink about trying to rent out the rink for a couple hours. And so we were able to rent out the rink. That was during the winter of 2019, that picture. And it was just us having a great time, sort of different levels of ability. Uniquely, one of the people who works at the firm, Erin, she is actually a part-time skating instructor and figure skating coach. So she was able to teach us a bunch about it. And it just sort of speaks to all of those experiences that you have when you start to meet the people that you work with outside of a traditional office setting. The one thing I will also add, because I know it's near to Rory's heart, is the annual ski trip up there that we're really looking forward to getting back to. Traditionally, in the sort of end of the ski season, the firm will go up to Stowe, Vermont for an annual ski trip, which is a great weekend of time spent with your colleagues, his family and loved ones, time spent teaching each other how to ski. I had never skied before and someone had to teach me how. It just tends to be a great time and an awesome way to decompress at the end of the winter.
My kids are really, really sad that they can't wait until...
I'm very much looking forward to ski trip again.
Yeah. I think of it as a 2-year pause.
Yeah. That's all. Yeah.
COVID hit about 3 days before our ski trip last year. It was extremely sad.
It's tough. So all of these points, though, are to make the sort of underlying point that consulting, especially at Altman Solon, is more than just a job. It's also a career. And there are a lot of ways that we do as a firm to sort of build upon that and allow you to move through your career with interesting opportunities and things that excite you.
All right, so I'll take over from here. Hi, everyone. I'm Christina. I'm in the New York office right now. So we've talked a little bit about what we do on the strategy end. We've talked about our projects, our global reach. Toby's talked about the people, but what makes Altman Solon unique? So I think what's important to take away from this slide, really at the core, is that we have a huge focus on mentorship and professional development. We're big on running trainings for anti-bias, inclusive leadership, having leadership conversations. We have weekly MC chats where we hear about MCs outside of the workplace and how they got to where they are today. We have support for our apprenticeship program to provide an opportunity for people to really learn as soon as they come on board, and a ton of other opportunities that I could go on and on about. In addition, we really believe in a flat organization. So really hitting the ground running as soon as you come on board, contributing to project teams, debating, getting an opportunity to present at really junior levels, which I think is also very unique. Toby touched on the social events piece, the very fun part of the office, our summer outings, the weekly happy hours. What's nice about being strategy focused is that we also have limited travel. So you really have an opportunity to get to know your colleagues who you're working with regularly, eventually when everyone's back in the office space, to have those opportunities to connect with the people working around you. And then on the bottom left here, the flexibility piece. So we have a policy against weekend work, which is pretty amazing in terms of management consulting typical hours. So it's a really great opportunity that we focus on maintaining that work-life balance both inside and outside of the office. Okay, and then Toby, if we click down here, one of the other unique pieces about the firm is our affinity groups. So we have several groups that are started at the firm and we host events and different speaker series kind of across the board. So the program is called DIVE, standing for Diversity, Inclusion, Visibility, and Equity. And it's basically the umbrella organization for many different affinity groups below. So on the left-hand side, Women at Altman Solon. I'm personally a member and just signed on to be an office captain to help in a leadership role there. We have an LGBTQ plus group, a racial and ethnic diversity group, and a first-gen low-income. And on the next page, we talk a little bit about the programs that we've done, but just some examples to throw out there. For Women's History Month, we had a guest speaker come in, Ty Randolph, who was the president and COO of Laughing Out Loud and did a great job presenting to the firm. We have several trainings that we talked about a little bit earlier. We have an eliminating bias and a giving and receiving feedback training. Black History Month was also a great opportunity for us to bring in some speaker series. So we had programming related to systemic anti-Black racism in U.S. history. We had a lecturer at Harvard Business School come talk to the firm as well. And then on the first-gen low-income side, we've really been focusing recruitment and targeting efforts to evaluate how do we reduce bias and compensate for differences in backgrounds as we recruit at the firm. So really just a non-exhaustive list, but a series of really great opportunities that people at the firm are spearheading. And then talking a little bit about flexibility. So again, the firm really focuses on maintaining that balance for work life. So that being said, there are several programs in place that are pretty unique to the firm in terms of being a tenured consultant or above, looking for a little bit more flexibility around either the work year, so taking a sabbatical or having a reduced work year to reduce the number of months that you're working. In some cases, single staffing. Some of the examples outlined on the side would be a manager who, for personal reasons, needs to be staffed half-time. Remote work flexibility. We're moving towards a hybrid model as we move into the post-COVID world. And then extended parental leave. The firm is really generous in terms of time off for parental leave, which is pretty great.
Perfect. So it might be helpful to spend some time quickly talking through some of the frequent tasks that a lot of people do in their roles. And we uniquely have some profiles that will pop up on screen to be able to walk through what are the typical day-to-days look like for someone in a consultant role, in a senior consultant role, and in a manager role. We'll probably spend a bit more time on the consultant one just because it typically applies well. And I have a personal favorite of who we use for the consultant role. And then
Who could it be?
And then we'll flash up the senior consultant and manager roles. So in terms of just the model consultant that you could possibly have.
Best possible ever.
So you'll see a slightly less dyed hair version of Toby, a tenured consultant, up on the screen there. I joined the firm about 3 years ago with a background originally in engineering. I joined as an analyst and have been promoted through to the current role of consultant that I'm at. And on the right-hand side, you see here what my typical day-to-day looks like. And so I want to hit on a couple points there. The first is that professional development, PD, and project kickoff meeting that I'm seeing at around 10 to 12. And I will caveat this by saying this is not every day. This just tends to be sort of a sample of my day. And so one of the things that we really try to do on our projects is kick the project off on a really strong footing in terms of what are my goals as Toby for this project and what am I trying to get out of it? Is this the kind of thing where I really want to spend time in the weeds analytically? I'm looking to really take a bite out of a real analytical challenge. Is it the kind of thing where I'm looking to start mentoring some of the analysts or the interns in the project and developing a bit more of a process role and really sort of explaining that to the project leadership so that everyone's on the same page about what everyone is trying to get out of the project? Later in the day, I'll at least highlight that 2:30 to 4:45 spot. The firm does a really good job, especially during COVID, I would say, of letting people have some agency in their schedule. And so I like to work out in sort of the middle of the day. It's nice to know that the gym now and the Boston office is actually back open. So it's really nice to have an organization that's supportive to letting you jump out to go pick some heavy things up and put them back down. And then you can see sort of the rest of the day as follows. We can quickly flash up Gray as a senior consultant, but we'll actually jump forward to Alex, who's a manager at the firm, just to highlight some of the stuff that he does. His day looks pretty similar to mine. He starts on the West Coast time. He's based out of our San Francisco office. And a couple things to highlight here. He tries to get that run in about the same time that I'm lifting. He spends a lot of his day working with team members and going through some of the problems that we're facing on each of our individual projects. And so this includes a combination of the staff that we already have, but one of the things that we love about this relationship we're building with Naman and the rest of the management consultant team is really trying to explain how much the firm is growing and what role applicants have in that process and how much we're excited about the potential for people to join us. So when we think about how people join the firm, it's typically at either sort of the consultant, the senior consultant, or the manager level, as well as a large pipeline that comes out of our undergraduate schools for internships, as well as analysts. In terms of how you grow, you can either spend a lot of time at the firm doing an excellent job, learning a really in-depth strength when it comes to a content niche and being promoted through into a management and later a director or partner role. But there are also a lot of other paths that are exciting to folks at the firm in terms of other opportunities to go to some of the top MBAs. Two of my close friends from the firm are leaving this fall, disappointingly so, to go to a combination of Stanford for one and Wharton for the other. So placements at some of the best business schools. We've had a lot of colleagues leave for awesome positions in either private equity or venture capital, or even some really cool internal strategy roles. So what does that look like if someone joins the firm, and what are some of those typical paths? The answer, as is the answer a lot of times in consulting, is it depends, right? There's no standard answer, right? And so for the folks who join as an analyst out of undergrad, they'll spend some time potentially getting promoted to consultant and later senior consultant, and then they might realize, okay, I want to go for an MBA. That's a path that's available to them. There are folks that join as a consultant and get promoted and try their hand in the startup space. They might succeed, they might fail. The firm is always happy to have people back, especially when they've gained a bit more of that experience in terms of trying their hand at ownership. Then there are folks who will end up leaving for a job at either venture capital. We've had colleagues leave for a nationwide bike trip, take some time off. And then there are the people who realize very quickly, consulting is what I love, Rory among them, and going from sort of consultant all the way up through the ladder and progressing through their career. So at least the takeaway here is that there are a lot of different opportunities in terms of where you join the firm, how you leverage that experience, and how you continue to grow at the firm. Thanks so much to everyone on the line who was able to join. Thanks to Naman and the rest of the management consultant team that we're working with on this one. We're really excited about this opportunity, and please certainly follow up with a combination of our team with Naman about if this is something that has piqued your curiosity and excited you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Strategy Simplified. Think you're a good fit for an open role at Altman Salon? Make sure you apply via the link in the show notes. And join us this Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern for a live case prep session with the firm. We'll dive deep into what it takes to succeed in an Altman Salon case interview. Come ready with pen, paper, and to learn tips, tricks, and strategies you can apply in the interview process. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.